So thank you for sitting down with us today. My name's Nate. This is Jocelyn. She'll just be taking notes. We're both students here at CCSU. I'm a history major with public history minor. She's a psychology major with
a minor of Latino.
Lots of history in here.
Yep.
From before when you were born.
Yeah. So let's start with what's your name?
Greg Laxer. Laxer.
Okay. Greg, what's your, if you're comfortable telling us, what's your date of birth? How old are you?
I'm 74.
74, okay. And where are you from?
New York City originally. And when things got too crazy to stay down there, I moved up here to Connecticut like 42 years ago.
Okay. All right, so you've spent most of your life in Connecticut. About half.
Yeah, actually more than half.
Okay.
You're very good with math. And you didn't even use a calculator.
I had to think about it for a second.
For young people, that's impressive these days.
Do you live in New Britain specifically? Or?
No. I live way out east. Way east of here.
Okay. So you brought an item for us.
Yep.
Can you describe what the item is?
This is a memoir, which is far more than, quote, just a memoir, unquote. Just look at the table of contents, and you'll see there are nine appendixes with additional information.
All right. I see this is about you. This is your memoir that you wrote.
Most of the time, memoirs are written by the people who lived the life in question, yes.
All right. So I'm just going to say what it is just for the recording. It's Take This War and Shove It. With an exclamation mark.
Thank you.
A Most Unwilling Soldier, 1967 to 1971 by our interviewee, Gregory Laxer.
Yes, sir.
I think what we're going to go with here is any stories that you'd like to tell about, I'm pretty sure I can tell what it's about, but, you know, anything in particular you'd like to share about it, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, I like to say that the single most fundamental truth that people, especially younger people, need to grasp about this war, and you know what, I'm going to extend that to every other war this country has waged since, and some of them before, utterly unjustified, based on a pack of lies. Vietnam was totally artificially divided. There was never a legitimate South Vietnam versus North Vietnam. That was done by the Western powers, the U.S. and its European allies. Mm-hmm. Then they denied the Vietnamese people the right to hold an election, which the U.N. had scheduled for 1956. And President Eisenhower, you may have seen that name in history books.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote his memoir in 1963, and he admitted that in a fair and open election in Vietnam, Ho Chi Minh would have become the president.
Yep.
But the United States had its economic interests in Southeast Asia. They didn't have a footprint on the Asian mainland. This was the thinking at the State Department at the time. There were tens of thousands of U.S. troops occupying Japan after World War II.
Right.
And there's still a ridiculous number of U.S. troops stationed in Japan to counter China. Taiwan was broken away from mainland China, set up a dictatorship there that answered to the U.S. So the U.S. felt they needed to have a presence on mainland Asia. Taiwan and Japan, of course, are islands. And Vietnam, as well as the neighboring Southeast Asian countries, they had natural resources that were tempting. When the French occupied Vietnam, they set up big rubber plantations, you know, rubber trees. And the auto industry in this country kind of was put on hold during World War II.
Oh, right.
All the factories were making tanks and bombers and everything. So after World War II, there was an explosion in sales of automobiles to private citizens. Well, they need tires, don't they? So they need rubber. And there were other resources in Vietnam. So the U.S. decided Vietnam could not govern itself. And that's how the whole division, totally artificial division of the country came about.
So can I ask, were you drafted or did you enlist?
Okay, it's all explained in the book.
Yeah.
I'll give you the Cliff's Notes.
Yeah, yeah, if you want to give us a synopsis.
First, let me remind young people that the draft is not dead. It's just been put in suspended animation. The powers that be decide that going to war directly with Russia is a real swell idea, I think they're going to revive it. But back in the day here, the options for a young male in this country were, who opposed the war, go to Canada, Sweden, England, and who knows when you'd be able to return. You could go to your physical exam at the draft board and get yourself totally messed up. And some prominent people have done that. You know, stay awake for a week, do all the drugs and booze you can so that when you go in, you're a total wreck. And or when you get to see the head shrinker, you know, pretend that you're totally nuts. It would be hard to convince me that someone was more nuts than the people running this country at the time. Other options, refuse to be drafted like Muhammad Ali did, which means you're going to federal prison.
5-year prison sentence, $10,000 fine, yeah.
Right. Option number 4, if you're lucky, you might have a genuine physical disability, in which case they call that 4F.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't in the book, but the fifth option, if you have a rich daddy, you know, he hires a doctor to write a note that says you have bone spurs in your heels, and Donald J. Trump enters the picture at that point. That was not an option for me. I'm not a good enough actor to fake being crazy. So, if you enlisted, the Army, in theory, offered you a choice of what you wanted to do in the Army. Now, it wasn't carved in stone.
Of course not, no.
The fine print is that the needs of the Army always come first, and that will determine where they really put you. The only role in which I was willing to serve, and I should say, I totally opposed this war even before the draft was hanging over me,
mm-hmm.
which it was imminently after I dropped out of college.
Of course.
The only role I was willing to serve in was as a medic, and you can see my insignia there. This is my genuine uniform from back then.
Oh, wow. Okay. The reason I asked if you enlisted versus were drafted is that's 4 years there, whereas a lot of draftees were 2 years.
50, that actually represents 50 months.
Wow.
To finish my 36-month commitment.
Yeah.
So there's a story behind that, obviously.
So, she's going to take a picture of this, if that's all right.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep. When did you write this? What year was this published? Did you publish this?
I actually started writing it around 2012.
Okay.
That's a mere 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And it was actually a peace activist, an older woman who lives in New Jersey, who I only knew from the internet. Right, that's typical these days.
Mm-hmm.
You meet unquote people online. She actually put the boot to my rear end and said, you really ought to get this book written. So I started to work on it seriously, let's say in 2016. And I revised it 6 times, trying to pare down the verbiage.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up at the last minute adding page after page, so it's like 342 pages. I had no intention of writing a book that long initially, but, you know, stuff happens.
You got stuff to say.
So I published it myself last year. The traditional publishing industry wasn't going to be interested.
Of course.
I approached like 24 literary agents originally. Because they're the gateway to traditional publishing still. You know, they have the clout. They can open doors for authors. So I went through a database, and I very carefully picked a couple dozen that I thought, based on their expressed areas of specialization and interest, thought they might be interested. Nope, no dice. So I said, okay, I'll have to publish it myself. And I did a Kickstarter fundraiser to
get the
money for that, and that was successful. So this is what I picked as a name for my publishing entity.
Unbearable Truth Publications.
Yes, because this is the unbearable truth about U.S. imperialism. And since World War II, this country has not engaged in any military action that I can approve of. You know, look at the lies that they used against Saddam Hussein. Weapons of mass destruction. Give me a break.
All right. Well, thank you for bringing this and talking about it. Is there anything else you'd like to add, or...
What's this about you being a veteran?
Yeah.
I kind of overheard part of what Jim was doing with you.
All right. Well, thank you.